Investor Insights this week, we take a look at some developments on the equity side. We see what we update from our walls perspective, as well as some of the other developments that have been happening around the world. Once again, Pietri's stuck around to help me out with this segment. We're going to go into some local picks, because I imagine the local markets have been quite volatile, and I'm going to start us off with our thoughts around PGMs.
Oh, bye.
They're just that's it. Any PGM counter you find, buy. If anyone is just tuning into our podcast for the first time, you'll notice a trend and a pattern. Pietri Redlinges is bullish on everything in South Africa. Buy everything. Keep buying as much as possible, and that is where he leaves it. That's okay. What he said in the first conversation. That's what he said now.
Should I give an explanation? That might be helpful.
Yeah, let's go. Right. Let's go.
So I think that we've seen a bit of a drop off in the demand for electronic vehicles.
Yes.
EVs.
I wouldn't call it a drop off in demand. I'd call it a reality or realization.
Perfect. A reality check
of the fact. Yes, a reality check of the fact that we're not going to implement this overnight.
And some of the big car manufacturers were all like, "Oh, we're only going to make EVs by 2030."
Absolutely.
Suddenly going,
we're going to make hybrids.
We're going to keep making these petrol engines.
Mm, we're going to do hybrids. Good. We'll include a fuel cell now. And that's exactly what's happened. Yeah.
So I think that the demand that has tapered off for catalytic converters, because, you know, they were very taboo at one point, ICE cars or internal combustion engine cars. Yeah, that demand will return.
Mm.
And I think that puts us in a good position for PGMs to rally.
I think a lot of it is at the moment sitting with, again, the China conversation, because one, they have some really good electric vehicle manufacturers, the likes of BYD. What is it? Build Your Dream.
Oh, is that what it stands for? Wow.
Build Your Dream. They've got those sorts of companies in place there. But at the same time, from a demand perspective, historically, China's always been key from international demand of precious metals and that sort of thing. When we look at the PGM conversation and the EV conversation, everybody wants to kind of move away from the combustion engine and into the electric vehicles. And I think for the longest time, it was about not having a reality in place. We couldn't conceptualize that this could be a reality, that electric vehicles could one day take over. And the emergence of Tesla and BYD and that have proven that we can transition.
They absolutely can.
But at what cost? It's not a cheap exercise to now put in place.
Not just that. The amount, we need to generate an enormous amount of more electricity.
To power these vehicles.
Because right now, they're not generating electricity. They're, you know, it's just good old-fashioned forces, heat and movement and explosions and stuff. And there's internal combustion engines. These are little tiny little contained explosions that we're harnessing to, you know, create motion. Get that from electricity. Our global energy production, look, I guess technically it is energy production if you think of it that way. You're making torque and, you know, energy. But to get that from electricity, we have to like triple the electricity supply. That's not an easy task. And the infrastructure you need to lay down. I mean, there's petrol stations everywhere.
There aren't EV charging
stations.
You've
got to get EV charging stations.
Absolutely.
Okay, look, touch wood. Thank goodness. Eskom has kept the lights on for some time. But can you imagine if every car was an ICE EV?
Yeah.
What would happen? It would be load shedding stage 6 globally. Right? There's just not enough energy production. And that's something that we have to solve first, I think.
So we're still bullish on PGM stocks, PGM miners. We've got a couple that we have on our wall. The likes of Northam we've looked at in the past. I think we've looked at Implats as well. And they're all kind of really moving in one direction. And that's not the direction we want them to move in, but they're coming into some interesting buy opportunities. I mean, I look at something like Northam, which is on our wall, staying on our wall, because if we look at the pricing right now, it's basically...
I'm pretty sure we spoke about Northam last time.
So we're happy with...
It hasn't gone too well.
All right, let's dip into some very specific picks. Our share prices kind of okay around the 120 Rand mark, but the exit from Poland announcement kind of took the share from 125 Rand all the way spiking down to about 110 Rand. Now we're kind of settling around 120. Are you bullish on Spar? Are you liking Spar?
Yes, actually. So you see, a lot of these are
promised. They fixed the SAP
issues. Some of these stock picks are for the JSE on Tuesday. Just saying, Leader X.
There we go. We'll all be at Leader X, by the way.
So, yeah, Spar is one of those picks.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's another one?
I don't want to disclose too much. I've got to give something to keep a bit of a mystery. But Spire is one of the picks, and this one is commodities focused.
Mm-hmm.
But Spire is definitely one of the picks. I think that we, well, you know, Pick and Pay is in quite a bit of trouble. ShopRite's kind of eating everyone's lunch, if you will.
And dinner.
Spire is basically going through that process of kind of redefining itself and streamlining and cutting off the excess fat and kind of focusing on a bit of profitability. And I think that pays off for them. Introspection, yeah. Coming from a mindset of abundance.
There we go.
Yeah, I think that they kind of reshaped themselves and they are well positioned to do well. I think that in general, our economy will start picking up as well. And this is going to be good for food retailers in general. People will trade up, right?
Mm.
Out of Boxer into Spa.
Out of Boxer into Spa.
At least that's right.
Okay. That's quite an interesting perspective on it. I think I have a sneaky suspicion around what your commodities focused one might be. And I'm going to throw it out there. And if I'm right, then I will know why I'm right.
Okay.
Cecil.
Ah, yeah, well, you see, this is the thing. I'm a bit of a broken record with Sasol.
No!
I've been saying Sasol for a long time, and it's been going down and down and down.
No, but I will justify why I think I'm right on Sasol, okay. Because...
You are right on Sasol. It is my pick.
There we go. Thank you. It's not because I know Pietri so well. It's because I, too, like Sasol. I've spoken to the Sasol CEO quite recently. I've looked at the share price. If we look at just the performance of it, the share being under pressure around the 130 Rand level has been a great support level for it.
Mm.
We've very rarely see it dip below 100 Rand this year. And the last time it rallied from here, we kind of bumped up to like 170 Rand or what, quite effortlessly. They gave us numbers. The numbers might not be the greatest, but what we're forgetting is Sasol is such a big contributor in the South African landscape
as an employer, as a taxpayer.
I mean, I think when the research was done, and I had a conversation around this, was if Sasol were to be removed from the South African ecosystem in its entirety, we would lose around 30% of the jobs that we have, of the impact. Wow. They contribute that much by way of the contractors, the other things that happen.
Too big to fail?
Not too big to fail.
Because then it's doomed.
Anytime you say that, it goes the other way. Sasol's not, it's not that they're too big to fail. It's that, yes, they made some mistakes in Lake Charles in the Virginia project. They are going to probably have to clean up that chemicals business, potentially even look at selling that business.
Hmm.
But Fleetwood Grobler has left Sasol as the CEO. He's parted ways with the business. The current CEO, the incoming or the new CEO, Simon Baloyi, had been running the Secunda business for years.
Mm.
I don't know if there's anyone more in tune with the Sasol core business, the energy business, than that person. And in addition to that, he's still got a great team. He's just appointed a new CFO. When it comes down to South African companies, they are resilient and they do much better when they're under the right management and leadership. That's what we've seen in the past. Look at APSA versus FirstRand.
Yeah.
Very, very clear evidence. Look at, you know what I mean? So when the right team is there, and for me, I see that as Sasol.
Or even look at ShopRite versus Pick and Pay.
That's it. Sasol's not going anywhere.
ShopRite's well run, so is Spa. Pick and Pay has been a bit neglected by management for the last decade or so, and it's almost dead now.
See, so management team that can work under pressure, that knows their business.
So I have a question for you.
Hmm.
I agree mostly, but I have a question for you. So that Secunda plant is kind of the thorn in Sasol's side. Now, we saw that they had a concession from government to say, like, look, we will accept your plan in terms of going clean, because they had to do emissions.
It was the emissions. It was the emissions calculation, right?
And that
the
is
thorn.
Now, you want to say, sort of out of the way.
Yes.
They now have the blessing from government
on that
to continue as they originally planned. How much of an impact do you think that really has on them? Because it was almost like if they couldn't, you know, curb emissions to what expectations were, that was Secunda done. Now Secunda's got another 10 years in it at least.
Yeah, so...
And obviously they are making an effort to reduce emissions. Otherwise,
absolutely.
They wouldn't be allowed to continue.
Absolutely.
But it has kind of given them new life, if you will.
Absolutely. And for me, when we look at that, the specific side of the Secunda business is the energy business. When you look at the financials of Sasol, the energy business that the Secunda business sits within is still performing exceptionally well. And now you've now given it a new lease on life.
Mm.
And on the side of carbon emissions, right, I find it easier to be able to offset your carbon footprint by investing in carbon clean assets than shutting down an entire plant. So Sasol has got other mitigating measures they can put in place to quite easily bring that number down even further. But the fact that they're allowed to remeasure how this is calculated is going to materially impact that business, because they now are going to account for it properly, which is going to affect their numbers. It might not take 12 months. It might not take 24 months to see the turnaround, but that's where you want to get in. You want to get in when the time looks good.
Yeah. And so you got to buy it when it's just depressed. You know, this is something that I feel, like I said, I feel like I've been a bit of a broken record on Sasol. I've been calling Sasol for about a year and a half now, from double the price it is now. And I was like, you got to buy this thing.
Well, if you didn't listen a year and a half ago, listen now, because you're getting a 50% discount.
It feels a little like I can feel the egg running down my face. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think if you think from a long-term perspective, Sasol's been around for a mighty long time, longer than, you know, both of us have been alive combined.
And they will continue to be around.
And they're going to continue to be
around. They're going to continue to be
around. It's like Coca-Cola. They're not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere. But we've run out of time. So that's going to be our Investor Insights for the week. We'll leave it at that. Beatrice, thanks as always for joining me. Thanks for coming through. Remember, investing isn't hard. Just try it.